This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And here we go. Item number two of the Rob Brown Hour. Now, why have I done that like every day this week?
I think you've only done it 2 days this week. But don't do that.
Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show starts right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is the Fan Upstate. Great to have you on a Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Yes, indeed. Plenty to get to, plenty to talk about on the radio program today, and I want you to be a part of it. 844-326-3663 is the number. 844-FANFONE. Put it in your phone, text it, call it, be a part of it. Let's talk some sports. We got a lot we still got to get to on the radio program. We got your audio blitz coming up in an hour, and we got a full roster. Maybe even jump into that a little bit early and go a little bit late because we got plenty we got to get to. We've got a weekend of men's college basketball to get into as the regular season finales are set to take place this weekend. On the men's side, the conference championship tournaments underway. On the women's side, we'll address those here in just a few minutes. We've got some NHL news and notes. Carolina Hurricanes get a 3-2 win over the Boston Bruins last night. Sebastian Aho back into the goal scoring category. We'll talk a little ice hockey later on in the show and more. But before we get into any of that, before we start getting in to the deets and the X's and the O's and the human interest stories that we all love so much, it is 7:02 in the a.m. You've got less than 58 minutes till you got to get your little behind on to the office. You got to sit down. You got to log in. You got to go through that two-factor authentication system that we just all love so very much. You got to respond to the boss's passive-aggressive emails last night when you were sitting home trying to watch a little Lakers-Knicks and you just ignored them all. Now you got to answer. It's time to pay the piper. And then about 17 minutes after all of that, you're going to get up. You're going to walk down the hallway. You're going to go to the break room. You're going to stand around that water cooler with Jeff from accounting. He's a big basketball guy. And you're going to talk sports. Well, if you're going to do that, you got to know what's going on. You got to know what's happening in said world O sports. And ladies and gentlemen, that is why every morning at 7 o'clock, Lonzo and I do this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports. This AM, when you do this, is what you'll be talking about. Let's dive right in. Head first into item number one. We'll knock this one out first because we talked about it back in the first hour of the show. We can bring it back up in hour number two very rapidly as part of the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet. Pair of moves made yesterday by the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll see if it's because they're just Jacks being Jacks, or if they're actually going to make a move to try to help Trevor Lawrence, you know, succeed for the first time since he got brought down to the butthole of America. The Jags made two moves yesterday. The first was to trade wide receiver Christian Kirk to the Houston Texans in return for a 2026 seventh-round pick. Adam Schefter reported that yesterday. The Jags initially planned to release Christian Kirk when the new league year begins on Wednesday upcoming, but they got a call. In their own division, the Houston Texans said, hey, we'll take him. We'll trade you a seventh for it. And Jacksonville agreed. This is kind of interesting because the Houston Texans, well, Stephon Diggs is a free agent. Tank Dell's availability for the 2025 season in question since his injury happened in week 16 against the Chiefs at the end of the year. Underwent a second surgery last week to repair a torn ACL after earlier having surgery to repair other ligaments. My man is falling apart at the seams, being held together by Band-Aids and bubblegum at this point. So that's a question mark, meaning they needed somebody, even if it's just to fill the space until they get Diggs back. Probably not. Or they find out that Tank and Nico are going to both be good. So they go grab Christian Kirk, entering the final year of his four-year contract, scheduled to have the Jags' highest cap number at $24.4 million. That money now moves over to the books of the Houston Texans, meaning the Jags now have a little bit less, but right around $22-ish million to add to the salary cap. It was also announced very shortly after that the Jags will be releasing tight end Evan Engram, per a league source, a move that will save the team roughly $6 million in salary cap. That came down the pipe shortly after the announcement that Christian Kirk would be moving over to Houston. It leaves the Jags without two of Trevor Lawrence's pass-catching leaders over the past 3 years. However, it does add about $30 million to their salary cap availability. Well, $30 million is the kind of money that you need to go get a DK Metcalf, to go get a Stephon Diggs, to go get a top flight wide receiver. Something that, respectfully, Trevor Lawrence has not had since he arrived in Jacksonville, Florida. That's a lot of money that the Jags can now go get a numero uno, an X, to put on the outside and give Trevor a legitimate threat. Christian Kirk's been fine when he's been available. He's fine, but much like Adam Thielen was when he was the X in Carolina, he's out of position. He's good enough that he can still succeed there, but it's not going to be where he's going to genuinely thrive. I think you saw that last year when Adam Thielen moved back to the slot, and even though the yardage was about the same, the big catch rate went up for Adam Thielen. I think with a true X, Christian Kirk could have been a dominant force for the Jags, but they were paying him top flight wide receiver money for a slot playing the X. That's not it, Chief. I'm excited because I think, I will even go so far as to say that I hope that this is an indication that the Jags are actually going to invest in Trevor Lawrence this year. If that does turn out the case, this year will be the put up or shut up year for Trevor Lawrence. Let's get to item number two. This is not necessarily a move that if, I don't know, probably 28 other Major League Baseball teams announced yesterday that they were close to a contract extension with their manager, would make the water cooler cheat sheet. It would make the water cooler cheat sheet, say, if it was the Atlanta Braves, because we got a lot of Braves fans in the office. It is the number one rooted for Major League Baseball team in our market. It also is a water cooler cheat sheet item for the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers are, I'm sorry to all of you, the most dominant baseball team that's ever been assembled. That's not a guarantee they win the World Series. It just simply says 1-9 on the lineup, 1-5 on the starting rotation and through the bullpen. It's the greatest collection of talent that any Major League Baseball team has ever stacked in any year in the history of a baseball. It is led by 152-year-old Dave Roberts, who has been in charge of that team for the past decade, and now it looks like he will stay in charge of that team for at least a few more years. And by few more years, I mean a long-term extension is in the works. The Dodgers and Roberts have been working on a new deal since around the start of February. They apparently had been pretty far apart, which makes sense. Dave Roberts like, yo, I got rings, dog. I have brought in, by being here and having, again, rings, bruh. I brought in a lot of talent. Part of the reason you have the greatest collection of Major League Baseball talent ever assembled is because I'm here and I'm the coach and guys want to play for me. And the Dodgers went, well, we're kind of paying Shohei Ohtani like 17 gazillion bleeping dollars, so we can't really give it all to you. Davo said, yes, please. Yeah, you can. Well, apparently, they have found some neutral ground. The largest current contract amongst managers belongs to Craig Counsell, who signed a 5-year, $40 million deal when he left the Brew Crew to stay in division and go coach the Chicago Cubs back in November of 2023. The assumption is that Dave Roberts' new deal will surpass Craig Counsell's either in total value or average annual value, if not both, though the terms of the deal have not yet been announced. Roberts has led the Dodgers to 4 National League pennants, 8 division titles, and a 63% regular season winning percentage, the highest ever for a manager who has managed at least 250 games. We will find out if he stays on board. The answer is yes, he's absolutely going to, because the Dodgers don't care about money. Money's not real to them. World Series rings are, and they're going to get a few. Let's get to item number 3. We can talk about the fact that yesterday the Vanderbilt Commodores, and yes, I am leading with the fact that we are talking about the Vanderbilt Commodores women's basketball team, but I bring it up because that's a basketball team that you South Carolina Gamecock women's basketball fans are going to be watching play today because they take on the Gamecocks in round number 3 of the Southeastern Conference Women's Basketball Championship Tournament. They got here by taking down a Tennessee Lady Volunteers squad that won their round one matchup against Texas A&M by 40 points. I said track meet. I said over. Over under this game was at like 125. I told Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News, who was in studio with us yesterday in town to cover this tournament, I've never had an easier bet in my damn life than betting the over in this game yesterday, and of course it hit. 84-76 your final, but it is the Doors, the 8th seed, who hold serve and move on to take on the Gamecocks today in round number 3. Michaela Blake's had 24 and 4 assists. Ayanna Moore had 23, 4 boards and a couple of assists. But I'm going to tell you the name, Gamecock fans, that those of you who skip work today, like good fans will, to watch this game at noon, whether you're heading down to the well to watch it in person or you're posting it up in front of the big screen to watch it on nationally syndicated television, Camille Pierre is the name you're going to want to keep an eye on today. Why? 16 points. Good number. Good number. 15 boards in this game yesterday. Vandy out-rebounded Tennessee. A good rebounding team. They out-rebounded the Tennessee Volunteers yesterday 42-34. 15 of those 42 belonged to Camille Pierre. She had 27 minutes of action. She came down with 15 boards. She is a 6'2 sophomore out of Phoenix, Arizona, made her way to Nashville, Tennessee to play for the Lady Doors, who had a coaching change, and she decided she's going to stay, ride it out. It's a pretty interesting story going on there at Vandy. But here's what we know. What we now know is that this team, this Vandy team, can wipe the glass. They can get offensive boards. They had 15 of them yesterday. They can keep you off of the offensive boards. They had 27 defensive rebounds yesterday. When we had Lulu Kesson in the house yesterday to talk South Carolina / SEC tournament shooty hoops with us, I said, hey, if South Carolina can't repeat as the SEC champions, as regional champions, as national champions, if they can't accomplish these things, what do you think would be the reason why? What's the kryptonite? And Lulu Kesson's been riding this horse all year long. She said, hey, can't rebound. Not that they can't rebound. Let me be clear. Lulu Kessin did not say that. I'm putting words into her mouth. Lulu Kessin said, the rebounding has not been a strength like it was last year. Last year, Camila Cardoso and Chloe Kitts combined to clean up the glass. This year, Chloe Kitts by herself. The team can get pushed off the glass. And they have been guilty of doing that in a couple of games. It happened in that loss against Texas earlier in the year. They just got shoved around underneath the basket. Last year, South Carolina killed you by coming up with as many offensive rebounds as you came up with defensive rebounds, giving themselves plenty of second chance opportunities. They're not doing that this year, at least not like they did last year. Here come the Vanderbilt Commodores, a team that was able to collect second chance opportunities yesterday. A team that was able to keep Tennessee, who did do it against Texas A&M, from giving themselves second chance opportunities. If this game does not go the way of Dawn Staley's Gamecocks, that's going to be the reason. The reason is because they will lose the rebound battle. That to me, obviously, aside from points scored, that to me is the only number that matters in this game. I mean, obviously turnovers matter, obviously assists matter, obviously time of possession matters, obviously quantity of possession matters, yada, yada, yada. The number that I genuinely think will dictate a dub or an L, South Carolina moving on to round four to face off with probably Kentucky, getting by the eighth seed, the Vanderbilt Commodores, is the rebounds. And as we talked with Lulu Kessin yesterday, I said the interesting thing to me as somebody who's been an advocate and proponent of college basketball on the women's side for a very long time, I find it very interesting that when I was in high school and Diana Taurasi was at UConn, Gino Auriemma was in his prime. He still is, but was in his prime. There was a gap in talent. You had UConn, you had Pat Summitt's Tennessee Lady Volunteers, and then just everybody else. Everybody else. Now, the gap in talent isn't from 2 to 3. It's from 11, 12 to 13. I think the same is true this year in the SEC. There was a step back in talent on the roster in Columbia, South Carolina. I think anybody with an objective brain is able to look at that and see that. You lost a couple of studs off that team who went up to the dub. But I also think LSU, even with Angel Reese leaving, LSU, even with Flauge being out, LSU's still a good athletic basketball team. Texas is still very good. Even the next level of teams, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, those teams in that 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 range, they're closer to South Carolina this year than I think anybody has been in the last couple of years. This is not a game that Gamecock fans should look at and go, we're the one seed, they're the eight seed, BFD. We got this, right? We're going to go in there. And I would be very careful. This is a good Vanderbilt team. Good rebound of Vanderbilt team. Watch that rebound number. If you get to halftime and Vandy's up 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 boards at halftime, you better hope that the shots are dropping for the Gamecocks because that's where they'll get you. If you get to halftime and you're in the ballpark in terms of rebounds, maybe they're up 1, maybe you're up 2, 3, probably going to win that game. But that is where this game will be decided, on the glass. By the end of the day, I'd like to be able to call the Gamecocks Windex because they cleaned up the glass. But that's what's going to make or break. We'll talk more about that tournament and that game coming up at noon later on in the radio broadcast. Got some men's college shooting hoops and more all coming up. I'm Rob Brown. He's Lonzo. You are listening to the Rob Brown Show. You are listening, ladies and gentlemen, to the Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's Friday. Got to get down on Friday. Text the phone line, 844-326-3663, or call the text line, 844-326-3663. Texter said, I don't know what day it is. Y'all didn't play the Friday song in the water cooler bumper. Alonzo, can we drop a little Becky White on the people? There it is! There it is. Now I feel better. Hurricane Jeff says, good morning, fellas. Have a great day. Jeff, appreciate you texting the show. Big dog, be safe out there. Jersey Joe on the Facebook chat said, good morning, Rob and Lonzo. Baltimore bound. Be safe, big dog. What you headed up to Ravens country for? Be safe up that way. Trey on our stream, which, by the way, you can watch the live stream. We're live all 4 hours, all 5 days of the week that we are here. Brief programming note. I will let you know that I will be out next week on Thursday and Friday, and then out the following week on Monday and Tuesday as the lady friend and the little bro booked me a nice little surprise trip down to the great city of New Orleans, Louisiana. First time I have been home since I moved it here, which is sad and depressing. Headed down to NOLA for St. Patrick's Day weekend for a delayed 40th birthday party. Also get to hang out with some family members I haven't seen in a very long time. So I'll be out next Thursday, Friday. I will be out Monday, Tuesday after that on a early. I don't do vacations early in the year. I certainly don't do them.
I'll be out too. So, I mean, you know, it's just we will be out.
We will be out.
Hang on. While he's having
you'll
fun.
You'll be out Wednesday of next week. I won't be.
Because I always take a spring vacation, usually to do yard work, but this year I'm putting new floors in the house.
Yeehaw!
So, yeah.
What a vacation for the great one.
That's what I do when I go on vacation usually, is work that I don't have time to do during the work week. What can I say? But we both will have fun. You'll have more fun than me, probably.
That is 100% correct. 100%. So I will be out. I will be here rolling solo on Wednesday. Lonzo will be out Thursday, Friday. We are both out. Monday, Tuesday, we are both out. We will return the following Wednesday, fresh, rejuvenated, and ready for a little March Madness action.
I'm going to get you the week. There's just so much eye, but I'm going to get you the week. It's been, over 4 years.
In fairness.
I'm going to get you the week.
Elected or not, great one, when I'm not here, you're here, but the people miss your dulcet tones.
Well, it's because I wish I was good enough, people. I'm just not. By the way, tune in tomorrow night to the Upstate Pulse.
If it makes you feel better, I wish I was good enough, too. All right. Let's roll on with the radio broadcast today. We have, as we mentioned, a bunch of NFL news we got to get to. Sorry, but I like it. I like it.
Well, I mean, because you're telling them what we're going to get to, so you're whipping out the
that is true.
The content, so it made sense.
That is true. I am whipping out the content. So excuse me while I whip this out. I do want to get to a little college basketball on the radio broadcast, because on the men's side tomorrow, everybody's in action as we wrap up the regular season on a Saturday night. Got some games going on tonight. Not exactly a stacked schedule, at least in terms of your national championship contenders. We do have a lot of teams that are wrapping up their season. Just a, I think just one ranked team in action tonight. Number 16, Memphis, is at the crib, the FedEx Forum, taking on USF. But outside of that, there's no other ranked teams in action tonight. Tomorrow, just about everybody is. If you're a college basketball fan, tomorrow's a must-watch, including a noon tip between St. John's and Marquette. That's a big one. Number 19, Kentucky, taking on number 15, Mizzou, at noon in the Southeastern Conference. Number 25, Mississippi State, is at Arkansas out in Fayetteville. Arkansas's kind of found a little momo towards the end of the season. Mississippi State, kind of one of those teams that, like, if they have a good end of the season and make a decent little run in the SEC tournament, could fight their way in. Penn State is at number 12, Wisconsin. Wisconsin's probably a 3 seed. They lose this game to Penn State. They could drop off a little bit. We got South Carolina on the road at number 4, Tennessee tomorrow. Probably not going to be a great day for the men's basketball team. That one tips off at 2 o'clock on the SEC Network. And then on into the evening, just about everybody else with a number next to their name will wrap up their season. That includes the Clemson Tigers at home for the final time, taking on the Virginia Tech Hokies at Little John Coliseum. Now, we have been talking about this for the past couple of weeks. What, if anything, does it matter if Clemson wins or does not win the ACC tournament? The answer is not much because, and I like this, I mentioned a couple times earlier back in the first hour that my co-host, or I guess I should say I was his co-host the last two nights, and will be one more time this evening, Bradley Evans, a BetMGM tonight, which you can hear on this and fine Odyssey stations nationwide from 7 to 11 every weeknight. Brad Evans, I mean this, might be the most knowledgeable college basketball dude on the face of the damn planet. All right? This guy can give you the deep dive metrics on teams you didn't know exist. He's going to have a breakdown tonight of tomorrow's big matchup between Binghamton and
say it really fast and with a British accent.
How did that make it harder? Binghamton and UAlbany. He'll have a read. He knows his stuff. So yesterday evening we were doing a segment called Tequila Thursday. Why? Because you take a shot at plus odds bets. We take a shot. We throw out some long odds bets that we think's a possibility. You got to do 3 of them. That's our little game. We keep track. One of the ones that I gave out was the Clemson Tigers at plus 420 to outright win the ACC tournament. Now, I did take them about 3 weeks ago to outright win the ACC regular season title. That's still in play, although they're like 25 to 1 now, because they would need a couple of things to play out. They would need Louisville to drop a game to a very outmatched Virginia team. They would also need, a little bit more likely, but not likely, Duke to fall on the road to Chapel Hill, to North Carolina, come on and raise up. Both those losses happen. Clemson would then be a game ahead of Louisville. Louisville holds the tiebreaker over Clemson. They would be level with the Duke Blue Devils, but Clemson, by way of their upset of Duke at Little John a few weeks ago, actually holds the tiebreaker over Duke. So, 2 L's to everybody else and a dub for Clemson tomorrow. You can win the ACC outright. Realistically, probably not going to happen. You need a pair of upsets. One of them a double-digit upset. The other, very close to it. I think Duke's favored by 9.5 going into that game. That was a number a day and a half or so ago. I'll check the updated lines here in just a minute. But my thought here is I'm not particularly worried about that. I'm really more concerned about the ACC tournament. I'm really more concerned about Clemson showing up in that. And I do want to be very clear about this. You're going dancing. That's already locked in. But when I said Clemson to win the ACC tournament, I then said to Brad Evans, I acknowledge that I cover this basketball team. I acknowledge that I want Clemson basketball to do well, to go deep. Hell, I'd be happy with them winning a natty. Why? Because if the Clemson Tigers are playing in the Final Four, if the Clemson Tigers are playing in the college basketball national championship game, Rob Brown's going to make some money. We're getting some people that go, hey, I'd like to give you guys dollar bills to be talked about on your radio show while everybody's tuned in to listen to you talk about Clemson basketball. Absolutely, I accept. Rob Brown will likely be asked to come out somewhere in public and watch that game and get paid for it. Big fan, big fan, big fan. So I do have a rooting interest, a financial interest, my wallet. It's my favorite thing. And Clemson do it very well. As of right now on Joe Lenardi's Bracketology, the Clemson Tigers are in a 5 seed. They are in the Providence Regional out there with a play-in winner of Nebraska-Boise State, out there with Purdue, and out there with High Point. The Bracketology today, and there is obviously plenty to change and a lot of seeds to jump around, says that Clemson would catch the winner of the play-in game between Nebraska and Boise State. If they get by those two teams, they would catch the winner of Purdue and High Point. I will tell you, that's a tough round one and two for the Clemson Tigers. That's a tough opening bracket. There's a lot of other spots in 5 seeds. In 6 seeds, in 4 seeds that I'd rather be in than where Clemson is, which makes to me the ACC tournament pretty damn important, because the ACC tournament is going to be how Clemson improves their spot, moves up to that 4 seed. Now, what I'd like to hope is that moving into that 4 seed would get them out of Providence and it would put them somewhere else. I look out in Denver, Maryland, Drake, Arizona, and Akron. Maryland's a fun little team that's kind of hit the throttle. I'd rather play them out of the gate than Nebraska or Boise State, even as a 12 seed. I'd rather play Drake in round one. I'd rather have Arizona, who is a good offensive team, but a team that if you play gritty defense can kind of be taken out of the rhythm a little bit. I'd rather play Akron, the 13 seed, if they were to able to pull the upset. I want to move. I'd rather drop to where Oregon is a 5 seed out in Seattle. Yeah, I got to travel to the other side of the country. But who are they up against? McNeese State, the 12 seed. A mid-major AQ. Texas A&M, a 4 seed. And I will say this. I said this on the show last night. I'll say it again here. Good win over the Auburn Tigers on senior night. It was also by far and away, without question, the absolute best that the Aggies have looked so far this year, and I think people are overreacting. They lost 4 games in a row before they knocked off Auburn. 2 of them to unranked SEC teams. One of them being Mississippi State. Again, not a bad team, but like I don't put them amongst the best of the best in the Southeastern Conference. I'd rather be out there in the 4-5 spot where A&M and Oregon are. I'd rather be in the Seattle 5-hole. That's where Mizzou currently is. They got Yale and AQ in the opening round. They got Michigan, who is doing the opposite of throttling up. And then they got the Chattanooga Mocs as an AQ. Again, if they hold serve and win the SoCon. So, with all that being said, right now, Clemson's in the worst 5-seed spot out in Providence. The worst 5-seed spot. There's one way and one way alone to get out of that, and that's to perform in the ACC tournament. A lot of schools that say, hey, man, look, you're already in. You're locked in. You're going to be a 4, 5, or 6 seed. You're not going anywhere. It doesn't matter if you're 1 and done in the ACC tournament. That's where you're going to be. You've had enough of a regular season that, yeah, you might drop a spot. Hell, maybe you drop 2. But if you drop 1 or 2, you're still kind of going to be in that weird spot, because now you're dropping down to a 5-6 seed all the or to a 6-7 seed. All of a sudden, you're starting to have to play a little bit better competition a little bit earlier in the tournament. I'd rather you move up, whether it is up to a higher 5 seed or maybe with a good run through the ACC tournament, maybe you jump up to a 4 seed. Maybe you fight your way all the way to a 3 seed. Maybe you find yourself in a spot where you're looking at the 3 spot where Kentucky is, with St. Mary's, Indiana, and Utah Valley. Hell yeah, give me that. Maybe where Texas Tech is, where it's Marquette, UC San Diego, and Northern Colorado. An AQ out of the Sun Belt, or excuse me, out of the Big Sky. Yes, please. This ACC tournament is going to be, to me, wildly important for the Clemson Tigers, mainly because I want the hell out of that Providence Regional. Send me further away if you get me out of that Providence Regional. That's a tough spot. Scott on the stream said, as someone born and raised in Providence, Clemson wants to avoid that region just to avoid that city altogether. The Providence Home Arena has horrible issues with moisture on the floor. Hey, whatever the reason is, I want this team to perform well. What does that mean? Build the momentum up against Virginia tomorrow, because you didn't against Boston College on Wednesday. Let's take a break back after this. It's the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob, the Great Milonzo, and you. 844-326-3663 is the number if you want to be a part of the radio broadcast. Jump on board with the text or a phone call. Clemson basketball fans, what's your thoughts heading into next week's ACC tournament and then Selection Sunday? I know a lot of teams kind of, I don't want to say throttled down, but maybe don't really care as much about conference tournaments as we used to, which is kind of becoming the college football trend, let's be honest. But I do. And it's not so much because I necessarily am, you know, super pumped about hanging an ACC conference championship tournament banner up in Little John. It's more about get the hell off that five seed in Providence, Rhode Island, man. Find you a new place to go. All right. Let's get to this one real quick. DK Metcalf released by the Seattle Seahawks earlier this week. Not released, pardon me. They told DK he could go search for a trade. Tyler Lockett was released by the Seattle Seahawks. He is, as of right now, the popular thought is he's heading to Las Vegas, Nevada to be the newest Raider, which is dumb because they're not going to be good next year. Sorry, Cody Decker. Love you, buddy. DK Metcalf got permission to go find a trade, but that the Seahawks would be able to make their own phone calls as well. Seattle said straight up, their GM straight up said, we're going to do whatever's best for the Seahawks. You want to trade, that's fine. We'll do the best we can to send you to a team that you'd like to play for. But if we get an offer we can't refuse, we're going to have to take that. We got to do what's best for us. So we'll see what happens. There is one more interesting discussion. General Manager John Schneider of the Seattle Seahawks was on the Seattle Sports 710 AM yesterday. And one thing that he did not do was rule out that the Seahawks might make a new offer to DK Metcalf and keep him. They said, you can go look for a trade. We're going to work the phones too. But they might offer him a new deal. He said that if the two-time Pro Bowl selection is dealt, it'll be to the team that gives Seattle the best offer, not necessarily where Metcalf wants to go. And that is interesting. This is, and we talked about this Monday or Tuesday of the show, that like at some point we're going to get to a point in professional sports where teams are going to start being less, I don't know, cordial to players when they make demands, right? Like DK Metcalf comes and goes, I want to be traded, and I want to be traded to a contender. We're not going to say, yeah, we'll trade you, and we're going to let you narrow the list of teams down that are trade partners. If you want to be traded, great, but we're going to send you wherever's best for us. And even though Rob Brown is ordinarily, let's say well over 90% of the time, pro player, cool, I get it, right? Like, I get it. You signed that contract. It sucks that the team made decisions that you're unhappy with, which is clearly why DK Metcalf wants out. They said they were working on a trade before that happened, but the announcement of the fact that he was searching for a trade partner came out right after Tyler Lockett got released by the team. So, tell me those aren't connected, right? Here's why that move's interesting. We talked about this yesterday with Rashad Beard. Lonzo and I have talked about it a number of times. I don't know if they are interested in it or not. But the Panthers should be. The Panthers should be. Rashad Beard said yesterday, I said, hey, are you going BPA, best player available, or are you going with biggest need regardless of who the next player on the board is at that position? Rashad said he is a BPA guy, but he said it's a BPA choice because of how many positions we need help at, right? Like, because we need a new cornerback, we let a bunch go, we let a couple of walk. We need offensive linemen. We got to youthify that offensive line and find offensive line guys that will play well in front of the style of football that Dave Canales has put in for Bryce Young. got to find defensive linemen, specifically edge rushers, to put outside of D. Brown when he comes back from the injury that ended his season last year. A lot of needs. Got to find a linebacker. A lot of needs for this team. So he said, you're kind of in, by being in a bad spot, you're in a good spot. By being in a bad spot and having six different positions that could all arguably be the biggest need for Carolina, the good news is you're in a spot where, like, a lot of players will fit the BPA model and fill a need. And I think that's interesting. I've talked a lot since the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl that their draft model, their franchise building model, is a model that I am now fully subscribed to. The model of draft linemen build skill through free agency and trades. Draft linemen and build every other set, skill position set, yada, yada, yada. Build all of that out with trades, with free agency, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Tell me right now, DK Metcalf isn't that guy. Now again, there's going to be a bunch of free agents that you can't be talking to right now that come available in, what is it, 5 days or whatever it's going to be. Devontae Adams is one of those guys. Devontae Adams is a very good pickup. Now, I don't know if you can get Devontae Adams, because I suspect Devontae Adams, as he's getting up there in them years, he is 32. He'll be damn near 33 or turning 33 early in the season. And dude was making $28 million a year with the Jets. That's a lot. That's a lot for a 32-year-old wide receiver. But there's some other guys out there too. Stephon Diggs is out there. Amari Cooper's out there. Chris Godwin is scheduled to be a free agent making $20 million a year. DeAndre Hopkins is a free agent in a couple of days. Marquise Hollywood Brown's a free agent. He's only 27 years old. Darius Slayton's out there. There's some guys. Now, once you get down past those guys, the names drop off dramatically. There's some interesting, like, role player wide receivers. Zay Jones leaving Arizona. Braxton Berrios out of Miami. He's going to be 30, but he's kind of one of those guys that's kind of a utility offensive player. You can have him in the slot. He's a special teams punt return expert. You go a little further down the list, you can build a little depth. Jamison Crowder's down there. Olamide Zaccheaus is down there out of Washington, free agent with 6 years of service and a paycheck of less than $1.3 million. Like, there's depth guys out there. Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be a free agent when it's all said and done. Jalen Reagor is going to be a free agent at the break. That guy's making $1.125 million. Like, there's names. MVS is available. MVS showed up in New Orleans and was on a heater there for a hot minute with Derek Carr and Spencer Rattler. But there's really, if you're talking about game-changing wide receivers, there's five or six. If I'm Carolina, I don't want to give away a bunch of draft capital. And that's what kind of makes this something that I'm like, I'm really excited, but I'm also very hesitant. Because I don't know what everybody else is going to be in the market for DK Metcalf for. And what's more interesting than that is we are now 36 hours after the acknowledgement that DK Metcalf is available on the trade block. Lonzo, have you heard a word about teams calling Seattle? I'm not saying they're not. But, like, ordinarily by now, we've got, oh, the New York Giants and the Las Vegas Raiders and the Chargers and blah, blah, blah. They all call this team. I'm not saying it hadn't happened, but there's not a lot of reporting that DK Metcalf's got a lot of suitors right now.
All I'm seeing are fans going, yeah, you should come to my team.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, that's it.
For sure. I told Brad last night because Hayden asked Mario, covers the Chargers, and he's like me. He's like, whatever's best for the Chargers is best for business. And guys like us, we're best with what is best for business. Everybody wants Devontae and DK to be a whatever their favorite team is. Saint Charger Chief, whatever. So, ordinarily by this point in time, you would hear that teams are making offers, that teams are involved, that teams are putting guys up, up there on the phone with Seattle going, hey, how about this? How about a pick swap and a pick? How about a first rounder? How about a first and a player swap? Not a lot of that. There's a lot of teams that are rumored to be involved. Chargers aren't one of them. A lot of teams that are rumored to be involved, but we haven't really gotten reports, and we definitely haven't heard anybody making an actual offer yet, which I find very interesting. And I do wonder if DK Metcalf, who, by the way, because I saw this pop up a couple of minutes ago on the text line, DK Metcalf, although it feels like he is, he ain't old. He's 27. Look at the other free agents that are, you know, $15-plus million guys. Here are the ages of every free agent making 10 or more a year. 30, 32, 32, 28. And by the way, the 28 is Deontay Johnson, so that ain't going to be it. 31, 29, 30, 32, 31, 32. DK Metcalf's 27. That's not like a 24-year-old wide receiver who's stacked and is him. But compared to guys that are Devontae's 32, Stephon Diggs 31, Keenan Allen 32, Amari Cooper 31, compared to those guys, 27's a pretty big jump down, right? I think you got to be involved. And if for nothing else, if you are Carolina, if for no other reason, I think you get involved just to drive the price up, right? Fine. We're not going to end up with DK Metcalf, and that's fine. But we're going to make sure that whoever is going to pay for him. We're going to make sure that whoever is going to have to come off the hook, not just for a ridiculous salary that DK Metcalf is set to make, which I think he's like right there with Stephon Diggs in terms of salary. Stephon Diggs, AAV, $22.5 million. I think DK is right there in that range too, if I recall off the top of my head. Not only do you have to move off of $22 to $24 million worth of money to go get this cat, but you're going to have to give up a lot in the draft or a very good player to go get this cat. I think you get involved and you hope, and maybe because of the way that he's leaving Seattle, maybe other NFL teams are looking, they're like, hey, you know, the guy's like, there's a little drama, there's a little baggage around him. I don't necessarily want to be connected to that. Like, maybe. Or if it's not, if the case is that there are other teams involved, the fact that it has been a day and a half and we're not hearing a lot of activity, drive that price up. Because you still have to be in the wide receiver market. You've still got to find a guy. And since there are only a few of these guys, who would you be like, yeah, that's the guy that makes it better? I'm not even talking about the money. I'm just talking about, I feel I can plug that guy into the Canales offense and succeed. Devontae, yes. Stephon Diggs, like athletically, absolutely. But Stephon Diggs, based on the way he left Buffalo, like it kind of feels to me like if you brought him in and it didn't go his way, maybe you end up in a bad spot. Keenan Allen at 33 years old, nah, probably not. Amari Cooper, like I'd like to think so. At not even 31, I'd like to think Amari Cooper could be that ad. But let's be real. He showed up in Buffalo, and we were all like, bang, game changer. And the Bills were still good, but between the injury and taking a little longer than I'd like to get it. Remember, it's was I think the second week, first game, but second week he was there, there was a play that Josh Allen hit Amari Cooper for a touchdown. But when you went back and you watched the film, Keon Coleman was out on the wing. Amari Cooper was in the slot. He lines up, and then you can see him, like, look out. And then he looks over at Keon Coleman, and Keon literally has to, like, hand signal him his route. He's like, inside cut, 10 yards, whatever. I don't know what he yelled at him, but he clearly was signaling and yelling at him. And then Amari Cooper got open for a touchdown. It's like, I'm not expecting you to have the entire play. Have you ever seen an NFL playbook? Well, they used to be that thick when they were an actual book. Now they're iPads. But you get the point. My man was there 2.5 weeks, was still having to have plays, routes broken down for him. I might be overthinking it, but I don't know if I trust him. Chris Godwin, 29 years old, absolutely. But I don't think Tampa is going to not match anything that Carolina gets, if for no other reason, not to have to face him in division twice a year. Brandon Cooks, no. Deontay Johnson, hell no. Tyler Lockett, like 5 years ago, yeah. Man's going to be 33 years old when the season starts. I don't know if I'm in that. Nuke, DeAndre, bring a Clemson Tiger onto the roster? Yeah, I'd actually be okay with that. I'd be on board with that. DeAndre Hopkins, price tag, only $13 million AAV. Salary cap hit probably around 18.
Big drop in the Super Bowl. Just saying.
Big drop in the Super Bowl.
Big drop.
Big catch in the AFC Championship game to get you there, though. So, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other, as the old expression goes.
I'd say one's a little more important than the other. And you can say one, you have to have one to get to the other, but still.
That's fair. Mike Williams, probably not. Robert Woods, no. Hollywood Brown, 28 years old, maybe. Like, there's not a lot of guys in the free agency wide receiver list that I look at and I go, that's a perfect fit. There's only like one or two. DK Metcalf, I do. T-Swizzle jump in the chat. He said, DK's a diva and a deep threat. Bryce is more of a dink and dime guy. I feel like I need someone who can run all routes and not just to go. Here's my thing with T-Swizzle. I don't think Bryce Young's a dink and dunk guy. I think Bryce Young has had to be a dink and dunk guy because Carolina Panthers don't have a deep ball guy. It's dink and dunk because that's all he has to work with, right? If I go down the street to a pizza restaurant, I might be a big steak guy. But I got to get a pizza because that's all that's available right now, man. I think BYU, in fact, not only will I say I think, go back and watch last year. Couple of times that they were able to pop somebody, Bryce Young has scary accuracy down the field. You got to give him time to establish it, and you got to have somebody that can run down there and open the route up. BYU can get the ball down the football field and do so very accurately. That's why I'd go get a deep ball guy like DK Metcalf. All right, coming up in the next hour, I got your audio blitz right out of the gate. The best audio we've heard in the last 24 hours. And I'm not going to lie, it's a heck of a roster. So we're probably going to go on for a couple of segments. We'll talk some more college basketball. Yeah, I am going to do a hockey segment, deal with it. All of that and more. After Lonzo starts, you might need a cigarette after this sports flash.
Yeah. Don't pick up vices, people. I don't think I've ever been to a pizza restaurant. Hi, I'm at the pizza restaurant.
Pizza Hut.
It's a pizzeria. Go away.
That's a pizza restaurant.
It's one and done in the ACC tournament for the Clemson Tigers women's basketball team getting dropped by Louisville. 70-68, Hannah Cohn led the Tigers with 14, while Maya Moore, Loyal McQueen, and Raven Thompson all added a dozen. Tigers were out-rebounded 41-26 in the loss. South Carolina Gamecocks opened their SEC tournament action today against the Vanderbilt Commodores after the Doors knocked off Tennessee yesterday. That game's at noon at the Well downtown. Make sure you tune in tomorrow at 8 p.m. as the Furman Paladins take on the Samford Bulldogs in the first round of the SoCon basketball tournament. It's Furman versus Samford right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball, The Fan, Upstate. It's a pizzeria.